Now, I'm also delighted to be joined in the studio by Karen Goodliffe from Harmony Finances. Karen, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm delighted to see you. And you're here to address some of the issues around our personal finances, particularly looking forward to saving a few quid for the future.
That's right. It's to boost your finances for 2020. So I suppose what I'm here to do is look ahead and see how you can save more over the course of the coming year and boost your finances over the longer term as well. I get asked or told quite a lot of the time that people don't necessarily have money to save each month, you know, when I'm trying to encourage people to save or put money into a pension. So the first thing...
Do you believe them when they say that to you, Karen?
No, because there's always ways of cutting. That was what I was going to go into. There's always ways of just have a look through your monthly bank statements, and there's always the coffees that you're tap and going, and I'm guilty of that as well. The tap and go is too easy nowadays with our debit cards. So there's always ways to just maybe stick to a budget and also to look at your big ticket items each month that you're paying out for. So the biggest one, if people have houses, is your mortgage. So when did you last review your mortgage? Could you get a better rate if you switch provider, and then possibly have lower outgoings each month in that respect? Look at utility bills. Have you swapped provider with that recently as well? Get lower costs for your utility, you know, your gas, electricity.
Is there a core message here that a better deal might be available to you if you just go and look for it? And I mean,
absolutely. It just means a bit of discipline, like time, sit down and just shop around and switch provider if necessary. You know, there's all sorts of different areas you can look at. You can be disciplined also throughout the year. If you sit down now and think, okay, what month is my car insurance due, household insurance, if you pay that annually, and then a month before that, put that in the diary, so you know that you can then have time to shop around before you get that renewal notice and before literally the renewal is on you and you haven't done anything and haven't had time, and you could have got a better deal with those types of insurances as well. So there's always ways of cutting costs for sure to be able to then look at saving money, you know, over the short, medium, long term.
Okay, so there's two elements of saving in this approach, right, which is saving on the actual cost or the actual thing that is an expense that you can't get away from. If you have a car, you need to insure it. If you have contents or own a house, you need to insure it. You might need health insurance. That might be an option for some people, and all the various utility and ongoing expenses. And you're saying loud and clear, haggle, hustle, research, find out what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. You know, make sure you give yourself the time to do that if there's renewals coming up, or just give yourself the time to research. Could you get a better rate on your mortgage, as an example? So, you know, you could save yourself 100, 150 euro a month easily on some mortgages, you know, if you've got, you know, a larger mortgage. So there's absolutely ways that people can look at cutting costs to then be able to save money if they want to do that in the short, medium, long term. And then that's when people are supposed to come to us to look at, you know, or any other financial advisor to look at ways that they can make their money work harder for them. So that's where we can come in and help them there.
Okay, so you're not necessarily going to help them find a better deal for themselves. Is that on the individual person or household in themselves, or can you help
them? It is really. Now, there are websites out there, and I find them useful myself as well. If you look at the likes of bonkers.ie, that you can look at you can look at all sorts of different things, whether you're looking at a savings account to see what's the best rate out there, looking at what utility providers, you know, can offer in terms of their charges as well. So there are sites, comparison type sites out there that can help people, but it is, unfortunately, it's down to people spending the time on it to be able to save. We can help them with, you know, where they put the money and look at the options for them then, but there's only one person really, and that's themselves, that can be disciplined in their spending.
Okay, so it's an empowerment process here.
Yes.
There's an element of a resolution to empower oneself to make one's life better going on about this. So it's a personal development challenge as much as anything else.
That's what it is, and now's a good time to do it. We've got over January blues. Now's the time to look ahead for the year.
Spring is on the way, Karen, is it not?
Hopefully.
Okay, but the process, right? I identify a product that seems to be better, but I'm really attached to my provider, whether it's my utility provider or my bank that my father and my grandfather banked with for generations. Can we haggle within our existing, or hustle within our existing provider, or is it
potentially
necessarily?
Potentially you can.
You dangle a carrot?
Certainly with, say, a mortgage, as an example, if you approach your own mortgage provider and say that you're shopping around, they may well, and I've seen this and I've had it done myself on my own mortgage, is just say I'm shopping around, looking at other rates out there, and all of a sudden you can see that they can, if you know, if you're not on the lowest rate already, they can offer you lower rates. So it is always worth checking with your own provider first because it's a lot less hassle, obviously, than, you know, having to move.
And they don't
but
want
be
to
armed
lose a customer.
With your information, you know, yeah. of what else is out there as well.
So you need the ace up the sleeve when you're yes. talking to your provider, yes. with whom you're already involved in a contract, and presumably they want to sustain that contract for their own purposes.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you have to be out. If you're in a fixed rate mortgage, you have to be out of that. You know, you can't start necessarily haggling then because you're in the fixed rate and you're locked in, you know, as it is, or you're going to face some kind of a penalty if you do move. So obviously you need to arm yourself with your information before you do any of that.
It's an empowerment age. It is the age of information, Karen.
That's right. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's say we do all that. We get a better deal and all our stuff. We mapped out our timeline for our year. I know when my car insurance is coming. I know when I'm going to have this big expense and this big spike in my plans. Or is there more to savings than just being aware of my expenses as they come on stream?
There is really. There's three different ways to sort of pigeonhole savings. First of all, everyone, and you know, whether they're employed, self-employed, should have an emergency account. So that's an account where you've got your money set aside, about 3 months, up to 6 months if you can, monthly expenses just put away if there's any kind of an emergency that, for example, you can't work for any reason, have to take time out to look after a sick relative, if you don't have sick pay through your employer and you have to, you know, you're not well, that you can't work. So we always make sure before we do anything else with a client that they have their emergency fund set up first with that amount of money, that they literally put it in there and they don't touch.
That's kind of a personal rainy day fund, because
exactly,
for a life changing
rainy day fund, running away fund, there's all sorts of different names for it, but that's emergency account is literally what you have, and you put that in an easy access savings account that you can access it fairly easily if you need to.
Okay, and only you have the key.
Exactly. Beyond that, then you're looking at the next 5 years. So what items do you need in the next 5 years? Are you going to change your car? Are you going to do anything with the house? Are you saving maybe for a deposit for a house? You know, there's all different items that someone might need money for in the next 5 years. And when you're looking to save for items in the next 5 years, the only place you can really look again is bank accounts, because you don't have time to start investing that money. You're foregoing growth for safety because you know you're going to need that money in the next 5 years. So that's where you shop around to look at what is the best interest rate. They're not very high, unfortunately, at the moment, but look at what their best interest rate you can get is.
Yeah, and that's one of the tensions, isn't it? That idea of growth versus safety, the idea of potential return versus the security of having your money when you might actually need it. That's a particular tension that people have to resolve, because we're all in various places on that growth safety spectrum.
Yeah, everyone's different when it comes to investment risk. But whatever we are on that investment risk profile spectrum, then if you need the money in the next 5 years, you can't really take on the risk. You have to put that in a bank. But once you're looking 5 to 7 years plus, and also for a pension, if you're looking, you know, beyond 5 years as well, then you do have time to start investing the money. And again, everyone's different. So some people might only like low risk, medium risk. Some have the time and capacity to be able to look at higher risk funds. So this is where, I suppose, an advisor really comes into the frame here, that you sit down with a client and you go through all of this with them and look at when they're going to need the money back, be it a pension or be it a savings product that we're looking at, or an investment. Then look at the person themselves and have a chat through and, you know, figure out would they be a low risk, medium risk or higher risk investor. And that's where we can help them, because if you have time on your hands, you can look at investing and start buying into funds that may invest in the likes of stocks and shares, property and other assets that are going to grow your money more than what currently you're going to get on a deposit rate. Because if you don't take on some investment risk, then your risk could be inflation. You know, that your money isn't growing and working hard enough for you. So even if you're not someone that can sleep at night, you know, if they're investing, there could be funds out there that's going to get you a better return than just on a deposit if you have the time to invest.
And the job of the financial agent is to advise the client, so to match the personality as you understand it or as it's presented to you with the range of options or products that are available on the
market.
That's
100% what it is, yeah. So it's that and the time frame, you know, the two things that we would look at.
So it's a little bit of psychology and a little bit of know-how.
There is, absolutely.
Okay. There's something in your presentation about savings, about setting yourself a savings target. Now, I presume this is a short-term and medium kind of a target for people as well. When you think about a savings target, what exactly are you thinking?
It can be
about
all three. It can be short term, medium term and long term. So long term could be the likes of, I want a certain amount of income when I'm retiring. So that's your pension, your retirement income targets. Medium term could be something that you need in 7 years' time. It could be, I want to make sure my children have enough, or we have enough funds to get my children through college. And shorter term in the next 5 years, you could be doing the things like changing the car, you know, building onto the house or renovating or just doing some decorating. Or there could be very short term, which could be over the next year, that I know at the end of the year that I want to go on holiday and I want to go someplace, and you know what that cost is going to be. So rather than, you know, putting on credit cards or borrowing, that you're going to try and save to get to that target. So targets can be any time frame. But the thing is to set your target and make it tangible, like make yourself think about what do I want to save for, so that then you don't fall off the wagon as such, you know, when you're trying to do your monthly savings, that you can actually visualize what you want to save for.
And there's a certain amount of motivation built into that. I want the thing that I want, which isn't the thing that you want, Karen, and therefore I'm motivated to achieve it by putting me bits away.
Exactly.
And then we may have to forsake the tapped coffee or the little indulgence or the large indulgence that we may enjoy from time to time. That's where the discipline comes into it.
That's absolutely it. Yeah, that there is scope for us all to reduce our costs somehow. And if you can visualise your goal of a certain holiday or a new car or whatever it happens to be, then, you know, hopefully that people can achieve that then by a bit more discipline and saving correctly.
Karen, I did promise the listeners that there'd be no politics on the show today because, God love us, we're saturated with politics. But I noticed the word pension comes up and it's in the context of finance as well. It is a political issue. Let's not talk about that side of the pension debate. But long-term pensions, there is poverty and distress awaiting some of us unless we take steps to address it personally now.
That's 100% correct. I suppose the debate at the moment on the politics side of things is the age mainly, as to when we're going to get the state pension. So if we accept facts that it is harder for the state to fund an ageing population, that the onus is on us to a certain extent to have our own private pensions to supplement the state pension as well. And the government do give us huge incentives to do that. So there's no other investment or saving out there where straight away you can get either 20% or 40% uplift on your money. That if you're, for example, putting €100 a month into a pension and you're a higher rate taxpayer, that's only going to cost you 60 because 40 will come from the tax relief. And if you're a lower 20% taxpayer, then it's going to cost you 80 because 20 will come from your tax relief. So pensions are the most tax efficient, you know, investment out there. They actually grow tax free and you can get some of it tax free when you're actually retiring. But it's a huge thing for all of us to definitely take the time to think about what do we want to achieve in retirement. If you have a private pension, you have the option of retiring earlier than when you're going to get the state pension, whatever that age is after this election. You know that if you have the ability to put money into a private pension and save accordingly that way, you know, and sit down with an advisor and make those plans, then you have the scope to do a lot more in retirement by maybe retiring earlier, cutting down your hours so that you're phasing your retirement and maybe, you know, working 3 days a week in your 60s and then retiring altogether in your later 60s. You know, that you have the options if you do take the time to put money into a private pension. So I definitely advise anyone that has the scope to put money into a pension.
And again, there has to be an element of personalisation or customisation for the person involved, for the client, because we're all at different stages in life and we all have different aspirations and balancing what we want at the end of life rather than what we can have now. And they're the choices we have to make.
That's right. Everyone's different because, you know, people have different costs. People may be listening now that have children and that's their priority right now because they're trying to fund for the children to go to school, then, you know, college or whatever afterwards. So I would say to, you know, whatever situation people are in, to put what you can into the pension for the time being. And then you can, you know, really start to maximise if affordability is better as you get older and maybe the children have flown the nest and that kind of thing. You know, whatever your situation is, there may not be children, but it might be you have a higher mortgage now or something. That put in what you can, get the ball rolling, take the tax relief that you know, we're all entitled to. And anything you invest now into a pension is invested and growing, you know, and it's going to make the hurdle a lot less when you're just trying to maximise what you can put into the pension as you get nearer to retirement.
Okay, Karen Goodliffe, you will be back, no doubt, in the studio again. You're here representing CWM Wealth Management and Harmony. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about budgeting and saving and pensions and the strength of the mind to manage our financial issues on the year going by.
You're very welcome. Thank you.